Wrestling fans, there's a podcast you will want to add to your podcast playlist. Wrestling with the Willies, hosted by Josh and his brothers, and they discuss all things wrestling, like WWE Extreme Rules, WWE SummerSlam, and more. You'll get the results and their reactions on all the matches you want to know more about, as well as in-depth analysis, opinions, and fallout from the events on Raw and SmackDown. Wrestling with the Willies talk about all the wrestlers you know and follow, their matches, moves, losses, and their achievements. Add Wrestling with the Willies to your podcast playlist right now. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcast, Google Podcast, and your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome, fear enthusiasts and horror aficionados, to another chilling episode of the Scream Creeps podcast, where the shadows whisper and the unseen is king. I'm your guide on this terrifying journey, Jeremy, and I'm here with my brothers Josh and Aaron, here to lead you deep into the caverns of the most petrifying tales ever told on screen. Tonight, we're gearing up for a spine-tingling descent into darkness with the 2005 horror masterpiece, The Descent. Scientifically ranked as 9th scariest movie by a 2020 study, this film plunges its audiences into the suffocating depths of uncharted caves and unleashes a nightmare that's as claustrophobic as it is monstrous. So tighten your harness and double-check your ropes, because today we're not just spelunking through any cavern. We're dropping into the abyss of primal fear, survival, and the eerie echoes of the unknown. Get ready to scream, to jump, and maybe, just maybe, to look at the dark a little differently after tonight. So I want you guys to stick around as we later dive into the behind-the-scenes secrets. I don't know how many of those we'll actually talk about. Discuss what makes The Descent a modern horror gem, and explore just what makes our hearts race in the oppressive darkness. So lights off, headphones on, let's get creepy. So as I said, the movie's a 2005 film, but it's a British horror film, and it was written and directed by Neil Marshall. The only one that I knew when I looked him up that I'm familiar with is the latest Hellboy movie, the one that was made in 2019.
The one with David Harbour playing as Hellboy.
Yeah, yeah, but he directed Dog Soldiers, which I don't know if I've ever heard of. The movie Doomsday, a historical war film called Centurion.
I know Centurion. Same with Doomsday. Doomsday was an okay movie.
And then he directed a movie in 2020 called The Reckoning, but I'm not familiar with really any of them.
Not one was familiar.
I think Doomsday is the only one that I might know. It was like, it's kind of like Death Race in a way. Like, kind of, not like the whole, it's like post-apocalyptic and stuff.
Okay.
That's the only thing that I remember out of it.
So filming
it's the same one. Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. Filming took place in the United Kingdom. Exterior scenes were filmed at Ashridge Park, Hertfordshire, and in Scotland. Because the filmmakers considered it too dangerous and time-consuming to shoot in an actual cave, interior scenes were filmed on sets built at Pinewood Studios near London, designed by an individual named Simon Bowles, or Bowles, I'm not sure how you say it. But the movie opened in cinemas in the United Kingdom on July 8, 2005. It premiered at the 2006 Sundance Film Festival and was released on August 4, 2006 in the United States.
Oh, wow. It actually went to Sundance?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was had a bigger budget than that, so.
Yeah, the budget actually was only £3.5 million, it looks like. It made
qualifications 50... to get into Sundance.
I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up. But
I don't think it's really much. I don't think, at least, because I know that I'm pretty sure Kevin Smith's films have all been at Sundance.
All of them?
I think so.
Even when they're with the
major... I know at least I'm pretty sure that Chasing Amy was at least there.
But yeah, on that $3.5 million budget, it made $57.1 million in the box office.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was regarded one of the best horror films of the 2000s.
And I agree.
I guess there was a sequel to The Descent Part 2 that was released in 2009 that I don't even think I've seen.
Well, you haven't seen it, but I heard that it delves more into the main six part. The can't remember her name.
Sarah,
okay. Yeah, it goes with her again, too. So, like, yeah. I don't think the whole story focuses on her, but, like, I know she's in it, at least.
So wait,
I don't know if it's the same person, though.
You haven't seen it?
No, I just heard, I can't remember if I watched a video where they were talking about, like, the whole series as a whole, but I can't remember where I ended up seeing it at, where they talked about that she was in the second film. At least.
The one that played Sarah was in the second one.
Yeah.
So she played the same character in it.
Because you know how most of these horror movies are, like, especially when they're lower budget ones, like the sequels, I usually tend to not watch them just because most of the people that weren't in the first one ain't in the second one. And but then the
Juno was also in the second one. So there were two characters that actually made it to the...
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. Okay.
But
I only heard about the main chick.
It never shows whether or not she dies or not, so...
No. Uh-uh. But, so as far as the casting, I didn't really... I guess they're probably mostly unknown because they really don't go into details on any of them, but Shauna McDonald...
There's only one that I recognized. Only one.
Yeah, Natalie Mendoza, Alex Reed, Saskia Mulder, Myanna Buring, Nora Jane Noon, Oliver Milburn, and Molly Kale. But we were talking about Sarah and Juno, so that was Shauna McDonald and Natalie Mendoza that played those characters. I don't know. Shauna McDonald is Scottish. She was in The Debt Collector.
That sounds familiar.
Myanna Burning is the only one I recognize from the entire film. One that played Sam.
Yeah.
So, and do y'all know what she's from?
No.
She's from Twilight, right?
No. There's a new show on Netflix.
The Witcher?
Called, huh?
She was in The Witcher also. But
She was in The Witcher too. But there's another one on Netflix that she's a part of. I forgot what it's called, though. Hold on.
You're like, search it all.
Yeah, it's not showing anything in the information.
In our IMDb, but no. Yeah, it was, just... it's one about a whole bunch of... not witches, but it's that women are casting spells and stuff like that. Maybe it is The Witcher.
Yeah, because she played Tessiah
The Witcher.
DeVries on The Witcher.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
right. Oh, okay.
It was The Witcher.
Yeah.
See, I'm surprised at how I didn't recognize that. But, I mean, like some people you don't really focus on all that much because I don't remember seeing any of these people in anything else.
They're mostly British and Australian and other, you know, they're not mainstream actors. That's why I was saying I didn't really point anybody out when talking about them.
Oh, but even a lot of mainstream actors are actually English and you don't realize it until later on.
Yeah, true. Until they're off screen and they're talking in an interview or something.
Yeah, but this had a lot of B movie elements to it.
Yeah.
And it just performed a lot better. Like it making $51 million compared to other B movies. But it definitely had that feeling of a B movie to me.
Yeah. So with that, I guess we'll go ahead and get started and talking about what we thought about the movie. So we'll start with, I guess, you, Josh. I think we last one Aaron started, well, but I don't really.
Yeah, kinda, I don't know. Like, all I know is that I've seen this movie several times, and I think that's like one reason why I liked the movie was how I am claustrophobic myself. So seeing in the situation that they're in, like going through a, like you find out that it's a whole unmapped cave system that they went into. Like seeing that shit, I'd be like, nope, sorry, I'm not gonna fucking do the shit.
Well, at the point that they find it out.
Yeah, they find it out like after they're already starting to get like deep into the cave system. Yeah. So I'm like, I think me and mom and dad watched this movie. I'm pretty sure that we watched it. That's why I was surprised that nobody else watched it, because I think they rented it one time when it first came out on video or whatever. So
I don't think I watched it because I remember a video game called The Descent. And then I thought it was like the video game, and I was like, eh.
Well, I mean, there's some, like a lot of games called like like The Descent or whatever. It's like, I know that there was a GameCube game, but it has Descent in the name, but it's not like the whole name of the, like, I can't think of the name. It's like Eternal Darkness something, Descent into Madness or something like that. I can't remember for sure. But like, yeah, I can't remember. All I know is that it's funny too in this one was that they made two endings to the movie. Like, as a side note, they made two separate endings, and then when they did the English version, it's different. Just because they thought, like, everybody that screened the movie in the States said that it was too depressing, so they changed the ending to the movie. So if anybody's watched...
Oh, what the hell? What was the original?
The original one is that she falls asleep, or like she's climbing, does the whole thing where she's climbing, sees the sun hit outside, or like where she could see the sun. She goes through there, gets up top. Pretty much the whole ending is the same. The only difference is when she sees Juno, it wakes her up, and then she's still in the cave. And then it starts up like where she, and you could see that it's huge in the place, and then that's where it ends. So two totally different endings, and they were like,
Yeah, it's funny because this goes back to what I was saying about, I think we were talking about the movie The Breakup and how, on another podcast, I don't remember which one it was, where I was saying, you know, the movie's called The Breakup, so it was nice to actually see that at the end they actually broke up.
Yeah.
But in most movies, they always make them happy endings, and I think this kind of points to that they did that. And that, I guess, when they screened it, the ending was trimmed by a minute, what Josh is talking about. So originally it was going to end where she escaped from the cave and saw Juno, but did not cut back to the cave.
Yeah.
And American viewers did not like that it was an uber hopeless finale. So they cut the final end off of it.
Yeah, so if you get the DVD version of the movie, you could still see the alternate ending, as you would say, I guess, on most DVDs. Yeah,
I guess so. The marketing, you
could still watch that, but
yeah, I guess the marketing chief at the time said it's a visceral ride, and by the time you get to the ending, you're drained. So, and he said the director had a number of endings in mind when he shot the film, so he was open to making a switch. And Marshall, the director, compared the change to the ending of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, saying just because she gets away, does that make it a happy ending? So it's like, you know, he was kind of pointing to that in making that change. But yeah, like Josh said, it's featured on as the unrated cut on the DVD. Let's see. Did I talk about the filming? Yeah, just that it was shot in the United Kingdom, and some were exterior scenes were filmed in Scotland.
Yeah, and the set was like, it's kind of crazy how they made all the sets too. Like and everything looked pretty realistic for being in a cave system, even though there was a set.
Yeah.
Bowles, I don't understand why they wouldn't do that.
He designed the maze of the cave.
Probably not the aesthetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
there were 21 cave sets that were built by a guy named Rod Vass and his company Armadillo Limited. And they used a unique system of polyurethane sprayed rock. So let's see.
Looked legit.
Yeah.
Well, and it was like you kind of felt, I think that's one reason why like I like it so much, is that you actually feel like you're with the people the whole time. How they filmed it and everything, you feel like, oh shit, I would definitely not fucking be in this situation. Like, I can't believe that they would put themselves in this type of environment.
I do find it interesting that the crawlers were essentially cavemen that evolved to live in the dark. So they were just, I guess, what is it? Neanderthals? Is that what they would, I guess?
Yeah. Evolved?
And
or something kind of like it.
Neanderthal.
Well, I mean, is that what cavemen evolved to, was Neanderthal, and then what we are now? Because it's basically like Neanderthals were the guys that kind of bent over when they walked and stuff, right? And were kind of bigger in terms of...
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I just know, well, genetically, we've got a high disposition of Neanderthal compared to others. Yeah, they'd be like
a distant cousin or some shit.
Yeah. But I know that's when I did the 20.
I felt like the creatures they were trying to make, like, it was vampire-esque, like cannibal humans that were.
Well, it was another one where they couldn't see anything, so they had to almost go by hearing, almost like what we're getting ready to talk about in a couple other podcasts again when we do talk about A Quiet Place 2. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of movies we've been watching lately that. They can't really see very well, so they base everything on what they're hearing. The movie was crazy. I mean, I liked it just because it was something offset different than what we've been watching lately.
You said that this was your first time watching it, right?
First time in a while. I think I had seen it a long time ago, but the problem is when, you know, this movie is 18 years old or 17 years old.
Yeah.
So the last time I saw it may have been 17 years ago. So,
yeah, I'm sure that.
Did I remember it all that much? No. So when I saw it this time, it was almost like watching it for the first time. But I guess the only part I didn't understand in the movie was why the whole Juno Beth thing. I don't know if I quite understood why she stabbed her.
Oh, it was. What? You're talking about like where she hit her with the axe?
Purpose?
Huh?
Yeah. Are you talking about when she? Yeah.
It came off that way. Maybe I missed a part where
she
turned around and smacked her.
She expected the crawlers to be there, yeah. So she just went and
killing all these things, and then all of a sudden she hears somebody behind her. So she just whipped around with the axe and it went through Beth. The thing I didn't understand is why did they make it out like Beth or like Juno was this horrible person?
Well, that's like, why I think why I took it Juno that way just later.
Explain
was...
that to Sarah. Like, I killed Beth because I thought she was one of them.
Well, like, and that's where I think, because the storyline kind of pushed that narrative somewhat.
That Juno
because even
bad.
Later, Beth told Sarah, I believe, that Juno killed, stabbed her or was the one that hurt her. So it's like they They even kept up that
and she was cheating with her husband too.
Yeah, so they kept up a weird narrative when it came to Juno, and that's where I was kind of a little confused on why they did that.
Sarah far enough to where she would do what she later did in the story, right? I think they could have come up with a better way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you're supposed to... Let's think of all the timing. There's a lot of things that happened from Juno hitting her in the neck with that pickaxe to when Sarah sees her with a bunch of bodies still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She would have bled out after 15 minutes, not even that.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the neck? Yeah, no, she would have been dead. Mm-hmm. So there were holes there. But mm-hmm. the fact that Beth, as she's dying, tells Sarah about Juno cheat or Sarah's husband cheating on Sarah with Juno.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you prioritize? Like, oh, she hit me with this. She left me. Also, she was with your husband. You chose that of all times to tell your best friend?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
You tell him, like, when shit's hitting the fan. That's what I'm serious. Yeah, I think realistically,
these things here, let me tell you an awful thing that happened. Because I couldn't tell you because he died in a car accident and your daughter died in a car accident. It's like,
which was one of the craziest parts in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't think I expected that right away.
Yeah.
And the gruesomeness by what they showed, where it went right through his head. I was like,
thing that you definitely get from that is that was an immediate response for the audience to kind of be empathetic toward the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that happens to her and they're like, traumatic event. And then all the friends are trying to help her and stuff like that. And then you're automatically connected to her because you went through this traumatizing thing with her in that moment.
Yeah, and it's been a year. Let's go explore caves.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, what's going to help me explore some caves?
But weren't they thrill seekers, though? I mean, they kind of alluded to the fact that this is what they did. So it was kind of like...
Well, I mean, they didn't know that it was going to be a cave that was...
unexplored. I think they were just showing that Juno kind of made a bunch of wrong decisions. Like, she did not with her boyfriend or husband or whatever, and then stabbed Beth, and then just ditched her too. But I mean, also at the same time, like, in your certain circumstance, like, anybody in that situation, they would have probably done the same thing if you're trying to, like, save your neck. Like, a lot of people would try to do that anyway. Either that or you would end up dead too. Huh?
What would they do?
Like, I mean, like, a lot of people in that circumstance probably, like, especially if a bunch of things are coming at you, you don't know that it's somebody friendly behind you. They ain't saying nothing and you just, like, hit them. Then on top of it, if you already know that you stabbed her, what else are you supposed to do? You would end up running anyway. Now, the only difference is some people would finish the job beforehand to that way she didn't suffer more or whatever, probably. But, like, I don't know. Like, in Juno's circumstance, it's kind of like, it seemed like they did the cheating thing as an extra thing to be like, yeah, she's a real bad person or whatever. And so, like, saying, like, you need to get one over on her, like, convincing more of it. Because she made a lot of the bad decisions the whole time. Didn't tell anybody that it was an unmapped section. She did all that shit. And then on top of it, then it was like she would sacrifice other people to get out, you know? Or at least that's where they made it look like Juno would do. But, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, they painted her in this picture, but... I don't know.
But yeah, as far as everything else, it was high, you know, somewhat realistic about how it would, for the most part, it was realistic on how a reaction, if that actually happened. I mean, if you came across people like that and how you would react. Even that reaction, her killing her on accident. Like I said, it wasn't the fact that she killed her on accident. It was how they portrayed it throughout the film. They made it seem like it wasn't one.
And, like it wasn't an accident.
Yeah. And that's why I didn't understand about it. Yeah.
The person that got stabbed and,
yeah.
and Sarah. Those are the only two that knew about it other than Juno. But you knew mm-hmm. the truth that it was an accident. Like when it yeah. first happened, I was like, oh shit. But you knew that she didn't mean to hurt her friend.
Well, I mean, that's where I was saying the they didn't make it out that way, because it's not like when she stabbed her, she reacted like, oh shit. She actually just cruised. Like she.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I was saying there was no, like, if I hit somebody, I'd look at him and go, oh fuck. Or
that,
you know,
that the look she had on her face.
I didn't recall seeing that
her
look.
Mouth and tears immediately started her, like.
So maybe
her eyes started welling up and she started crying.
And maybe I'm just not remembering that part when I watched it. Because I watched it, 2 weeks ago? I think you may have seen it more recently than me. But for some reason, I'm not remembering
that. When that happened, she like, it was almost as if she couldn't process what she did. So she ran.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe I just missed that whole.
And I figured that she didn't say that because, like, she could have probably said something when she left.
She but felt.
If anything, she would have probably blamed it on the people and she would have dealt with the, like, her doing it. Like, she probably wouldn't have told anybody that it was her that did it. I mean, well, I would assume that. But
she should have told.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Like, she wouldn't have been in the same position with Sarah and shit if she would have said something. She
didn't lie about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you knew she would lie about it because she had been lying to Sarah about sleeping with her
husband. The whole time, yeah.
So, I mean, she was essentially a liar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, she was a liar.
So, with that, I guess we can talk about the rankings. So as we said at the beginning, this was ranked number 9 on the top 35 scariest movies according to Science back in 2020. But so to go through the study again, the average resting heart rate for everybody in the study was 65 beats per minute. So the average movie heart rate for The Descent was actually 79 beats per minute. So it was actually tied with The Visit and The Ring for the average.
Mm.
But the highest spike is the highest we've seen so far. So it's tied with A Quiet Place, actually, at 122 beats per minute was the highest spike during the film. So that's what put it at number 9 in comparison to the other two that we recently talked about here on the podcast.
I wonder what part that would have been at.
I would bet it was almost the beginning. I mean, when
the pipe went through his head.
That shock. Yeah.
It had to have made people, because I know it did me. I was not expecting that to happen. I expected something to happen, like an accident or something, but I didn't expect the incident to occur that did.
Right, so let me ask you guys, did you know that Juno was sleeping with her husband at the very beginning?
No, but like,
I did.
Did you see the glances and shit? If you see, like, if you look back after you watch it again, it was like, you could definitely tell.
Well,
like,
I got an inkling. Yeah, I got an inkling with how the looks were. And there's mostly foreshadowing and things when in most movies. I always talk about it with Elaine, is that they'll show a certain thing for a reason. Like, they'll show an object. And so in a lot of horror movies, they'll show an object, and you know that object's going to be used to kill somebody in a few minutes. There's no reason to show the object just out of the blue in a lot of these. And then, sure enough, 5 minutes later, somebody used it. And so it's, so if you pay attention close enough, you can pick up on a lot of things in movies, but they kind of get you with the throwing 12 different things at you and hope you miss one. That way you're surprised later on. And there was a video I recently saw where there's people, like the question, there's a bunch of people in the room and it says, count how many times the red ball gets passed, or it's a, I don't know if it's a red ball or if it's a different color ball, but they say count how many times it gets passed. And then when you get to the end, they're like, they give you the answer, but then they go, did you notice the freaking panda walking, or the gorilla walking through the shot while you, and sure enough, in the middle of it, there's this freaking gorilla walking back and forth just through the whole group. And you don't notice that because your mind is
focused
to focus on how many times the ball was thrown around. So you never notice the gorilla just walking through the shot. And so it's that kind of stuff that I'm referring to, like with a horror movie. They place these things hoping that you kind of
catch on to it.
Catch on mm-hmm. to it, but you may miss it. So you're shocked later on when they reveal it. Sixth Sense kind of did that with the whole I see dead people mm-hmm. thing. They revealed that early on and nobody really picked up on it. It was such a big thing that at the end when, oh, he's, you know, I don't necessarily want to spoil it, but it's been out for 30 years. But, you know, the fact that he was dead was, he was already kind of alluding to that 5 seconds into the movie. But anyhow, but that's M. Night Shyamalan for you. Most of his movies are kind of, they revolve around that.
All have a twist at the end, yeah.
So,
love his
but yeah, did you guys have anything else to say about The Descent?
No.
I don't know.
No,
if I,
just check it out. Yeah. If you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it was a solid movie, to be honest. She was Sarah, I do have to say this. Sarah, by the end of the movie, with the exception of her attempted murder of her friend, was an absolute badass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She became the, oh, hell yeah, like, I want this chick to just lay everybody out, that type of chick. It was great. Her character got better once she went into full fuck it mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, it was awesome. I would say, all right, there was one scene in particular that this was the moment that things changed and I could sense it. Or not sense it, but I knew it was a change. When she came out of the blood.
Oh, that's probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie. It's like her falling into it and coming out. Everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I actually liked the it wasn't the whole, oh, it would be depressing if it was the other version and stuff like that. No, I wanted that badass chick to achieve her goal.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted, because she was getting sick. So, with the exception of her killing her friend, of course, mm-hmm. like, I didn't agree with that decision. Did not. She would have done a lot better.
I think they should have done where they were together, got out, and then they could have done something where, hey, she's going to jail or something. You know, that's like, done something after they got
jail for it. She didn't, like, because she accidentally killed her friend, like,
well, that's what I'm saying is, like, deal with the consequences after you both escape instead of you doing it.
The worst punishment that you could possibly give a person like that is letting them live the rest of their life with the guilt.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you could do. So help that chick get out and then be like, bye, bish. You know? That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, like we said, The Descent 2 had both of them in it, so I don't know the premise behind it. So she obviously either got out, or it's a prequel of
or it's like or something. A ghost version.
And the ghost version? Oh,
or, she's... You know, because at the end of this movie, they showed, like, her, like, you could tell, like, PTSD or something hit in, where she was seeing Juno's body type thing.
Because... If in The Descent 2, Juno survived that whole ordeal, she's even more badass than Sarah.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Because in that, even her whole scene with when she was going ham with her pickaxe and then accidentally killed her friend, like, she was getting it. She was, yeah. I loved those scenes. That was my favorite part about the movie, was them actually fighting these things. Hell yeah. That's why the movie was great to me. Like, they chose an antagonist that wasn't superhuman that they could actually fight back against. But it was still terrifying because they did have that special sense ability. They were in their environment, they were much more powerful.
Yeah.
So, what you just said, Aaron, may have to watch the second one because,
are they more powerful?
No, but Juno's found to be alive in the cave still.
Hell yeah. Juno's a badass.
Yeah. So, but they follow the events of the first film. So 2 days after it.
Yeah. 2 days. Okay.
Yeah, and they go looking for the missing friends. So
how in the hell would they have known that they were there? But you know.
No, it's because
they'll explain it. Yeah.
It's because Sarah escaped. She's taken to a hospital.
With the original ending, they never would have been able to make a second film.
I think that sounds about right.
Yeah,
it sounds like more of the reason why they made the second ending than it does. Yeah. Oh, the English the U.S. moviegoers. Oh, they don't like sad stories.
Yeah,
I think that's some bullshit.
Yeah,
We're like, you wanted to make a buck. So you change the ending so that you can make a second one.
Yeah, exactly, right?
The funny thing is, the second one didn't do shit, though.
Yeah. What?
The second one didn't do anything. It made $7 million in the box office.
Damn. How much did it spend on it?
I didn't even know that they released it.
It doesn't even say. It just says box office was $7 million. Let me see if it... Yeah, it doesn't even point out how much they spent.
Probably not now.
They spent more than $7 million.
Not as much.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. It was probably more than $7 million. But yeah, it didn't make jack.
I mean, how they would spend more, I have no idea. Because all the sets made, all of this, like, what did they demolish all the sets? Did they?
You would think that they would end up still having it, so they could repurpose anything. But you know.
That's probably partly why the second one didn't do too well, though, because it seemed like they almost did a rehashing of the first one with some new parts sprinkled into it. So it's probably like, if you've seen it, why do you need to see it again kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, with that, I don't know. I think we've talked about The Descent enough. With that being said,
talking about this movie yet.
We talked about the study and I guess we didn't talk about whether or not it was. I didn't feel it was heart raising, or you know, even if I did see it 17 years ago,
I would barely even consider this a horror flick. Man.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, it's more like an action flick than, and like the only thing that's like horror related is knowing that it's like they're in the darkness the whole time, so you didn't see like them and the claustrophobic nature of being in the cave system. I think really that's the scary part for certain people. It's yeah. just knowing that your enemy could just be like coming out of nowhere. I don't know how they could have survived in that environment though, but because I don't see many people just going into that cave being like, hey guys, what's up?
Well, I'm kind of thrown when people decide to do, what is it, the freehand cliff diving? What is it called? Where they're or freehand cliff yeah. climbing, where they don't have any ropes and they're climbing with just their hands and their feet.
Yeah.
And they're hanging off of it with just a
I thought it was called like free hanging or something like that.
Those people are nuts. I mean, yeah. I don't know how.
I mean, I think at one point,
to each their own, but it's like that. Fuck that. There ain't no way in hell.
Exactly.
Yeah, hell no.
Yeah. I mean, so everybody knows how risk averse I am. There ain't no way in hell I'd get even close to that. But for the next episode, we'll be talking about the Babadook. So next week, that'll be number 8 on the series. We're getting close to the end.
Super close.
Yeah. So number 8's the Babadook, which is it's an Australian film. So it was made back in 2014, but we'll be talking about that next week. But I hope you guys, for everybody that made it to the 40-minute mark of this podcast, if you guys haven't liked and subscribed to our channel yet, or subscribe to any of the podcasts on your favorite podcast platform, we would love to have you guys. And hit that bell on YouTube so you get notified when these videos come out. We've not only got the podcast videos, but I've got various playthroughs I'm doing on the channel now. Aaron's doing random. I think he's starting to do random reacts again.
Mm-hmm. I gotta do a couple of music reviews for. Avrilines is this new band that I've just seen from Germany coming out with a record, and then Alpha Wolf's record just hit. And it's killer, so I got to do those videos.
Soon. Yep, so Josh will be doing music reviews, and then we've got Let's Plays and a bunch of other stuff coming. So for all of us here at the Heart of Geek, I hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll see you in the next Scream Creeps episode. Have a good one, and we'll see you in the next time.